Okay, I figured today to do something a little bit different stylistically than we've done in the past. And I want to do something that begins with this week's Parsha. But actually, you had the schluss, I think, to hear one Wednesday from Rav Miller, right? The Rosh Kollel. So I want to share with you a fantastic definition of nothing less than the definition of Torah that Rav Miller shared with the Kollel a short while ago through a lens that I noticed in this week's parasha. What we're going to do is begin. You have Chumashim there, so open up the Chumash, please, at page 66. And we're going to begin with the first few psukim of Parshas Vayetze and ask a bunch of questions. And of course, eventually, yes, we're going to get to a lesson and a mussar and so on. Of course, we know that Yaakov Avinu is running away from his brother Esav. The pasuk tells us that Rivka had suggested that he goes to Haran to look for a wife. And the pasuk in Parshas Toldos on page 65 concludes, "Vayishma Yaakov Eloviv Elimo Vayelech Paden Arama." So it says that he was going to Paden Aram, and the city that Rivka lived, that Rachel and Leah lived in, was Haran. And this week's parasha begins, "Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava." Yaakov left Be'er Shava, "Vayelech Harana," and he went to Haran. Okay, pretty innocent. By the way, how many chapters are in this week's parasha? So the wrong way for us to do it would be to count up from Perek Chaf Ches and look at the end of the parasha and see Lama Beis. Why would that be wrong? Because that's the Christian way of doing things. We don't have Prakim. So how do you know what are our chapters in the Torah? So we have Parshiot that are what are referred to as some as Simanim, sometimes as a Pei or a Samach. So I was looking, this Dvar Torah actually hit me. I guess this is from on my... All of what I'm about to say hit me as a spiritual experience. Hagba, this past Shabbos, I was looking at the Torah. By the way, women are allowed to open the mechitza and look at the Torah as well. And I was looking in the Torah, and it dawned on me, wow, all I saw was one break. And usually when you have the Torah opened up, you see a few breaks in the Torah. There was one break, and that break was Vayetze. And that's it. Vayetze goes on. There isn't a single break in all of Parshas Vayetze. It continues all the way. Take a look to Parshas Vayishlach. It goes all the way until when Yaakov Avinu arrives back in Eretz Yisrael. Vayovo Yaakov Shalim. That Yaakov came back Shalim. Where do we have that in the Torah? Can anybody find it? Perek in Vayishlach, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches. So there is a very long parsha, starting with Parshas Vayetze, going all the way through Vayishlach. So I'm going to list to you a bunch of questions about Parshas Vayetze, and then we're going to broaden it, looking at a basic theme throughout Sefer Bereishis, and then we're going to get to the lessons that we want to bring out from that. So question number one is, why is it that Parshas Vayetze goes on forever and ever and ever? If you take a look, all the way till Yaakov, when Yaakov comes back, take a look at Parshas Toldos, there are many breaks over there. But Parshas Vayetze has absolutely no breaks. That's question number one. Now let's start that first pasuk. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava Vayelech Harana. Rashi, in the second Rashi, is bothered by a question. Vayetze, says Rashi, lo hayatzarech lichtov, Ela Vayelech Yaakov Harana. It should not say Vayetze, that he left, but rather all it should say is Vayelech Yaakov, that Yaakov went to Haran. Rashi, for some reason, does not like the word Vayetze, even though that's the name of this week's parasha. He says it would not be appropriate to use the word Vayetze for Yaakov. We don't want to mention Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava, that he left Be'er Shava. Rashi wants us to start Vayelech Haran. Of course, quoting from Chazal. So why does the Torah say Vayetze? Let's take a look, continue on in Rashi, in the second Rashi. V'lama hizkir yitziyaso. Ela Magid, it's coming to tell us, she yitzias tzaddik min hamakom osa rosham, that when the tzaddik leaves, then you feel that he's left. So really it should say, vayelech. That Rashi says it should say, vayelech charana, he went to Chara. But it says vayetze, to emphasize that there was Yaakov's presence was missed. Question number two is, what's so wrong with saying that Yaakov left? Why is Rashi so bothered by that? Why is that so? Why is it something that disturbs Rashi? Yes. Ah, very good. That gets to the next Rashi. Well, actually, I was weighing whether to discuss it. So since you asked the question, so I'll just mention the first Rashi, Vayetze Yaakov. There, the Sifsei Chachamim explains that Rashi was bothered. Why does it say that he had left? Because it already says Vayelech Padena Aram. The Sifsei Chachamim makes your point. And therefore, the Sifsei Chachamim says that we wants to emphasize what Rashi says in the first psukim, and that is that there was a break. It says Vayelech Padan Aram, and then it says Vayar Esav Kiros Benos Kenan. So we want to go back to connect those two things, and that the reason why Yitzchak sent away his son was because of Esav's and the bad influence that was around. And hence, we have to go back and repeat Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. But really, as you pointed out, it already said Vayelech. And similarly, Rashi over here is saying that Vayelech is enough. So just to repeat the questions that I'm asking. Question number one is, why do we have the entire Parsha without any interruption? Number two, Rashi says that we'd be very happy with simply Vayelech Padena Aram. And the reason why it says Vayetze is to come to tell us something different. And that is that when the tzaddik leaves, it makes a rosham on the area. Some of you are leaving in January. The seminary is not going to be the same. It makes a rosham. That's what the pasuk is. That's what the pasuk is going to emphasize. Yes.
Is it true? Then how come,
excellent. That's what I'm driving at. Excellent. Very good. Question number three is that Rashi in Vayelech Harana says, Yatza? Lalechas Acharon. Why does it say that he left? To emphasize that he was going to Charon. Now, Sifsei Chacham gives a pshat, what Rashi is bringing out when he says, Yatza. It's emphasized he left Lalechas Acharon. Take a look at the Sifsei Chacham there. But it is striking that Rashi says, the reason why it says Yatza is Lalechas Acharon. To emphasize that he was going to Charon. So why then does it say Vayetze? Well, there's something here that's going on that's clearly deeper, that's a little bit vague. Rav Miller Shlita suggested something that is very straightforward, very deep, and also the conclusion that he came to is very startling and very relevant. Let me start with his startling statement. Rav Miller said that he thinks the definition of Torah is dependent on how you understand the words of going and coming. In other words, what does it mean for us to lead a life of Torah? He suggested within the context of Parshas Lech Lecha, which we're going to turn to shortly, that it depends on how you leave somewhere and how you go somewhere else. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph tells us that the world is divided into groups of 2,000 years. The first 2,000 years were called Tohu Vavohu, turmoil. The second 2,000 years is Torah. The Gemara asks, but wait a second. I'm not so great with dates, so if somebody could help me with the dates, tell me if I got it right. Gemara asks, wait a second, Torah was given in what year? Something like 2,448? All right, thank you. Torah was given 2,448. Asks the Gemara, but wait a second. So why do you say that the second set of 2,000 years is Torah? It's 2,448 years. Anybody know the Gemara's answer? Yeah?
It starts from Avraham.
Starts from Avraham Avinu. Says the Gemara that Torah begins with the generation of Avraham Avinu. Wait a second. What Torah is there in Avraham Avinu? And the Gemara makes a reference to the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Ves HaNefesh Esher Asu V'Charan. The Nefesh that Avraham Avinu took, notice by the way here, Charan again, the Nefesh Esher Asu V'Charan. So let's now begin to see how Avraham's travels are described in Parshas Lech Lecha. Parshas Lech Lecha, of course, famously begins by Yom Hashem Avram, Lech Lecha Me'artzcha Milatom Beis Avicha El Ha'aretz Asher Recha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, leave your parents' home to a place I'm going to show you. And if you notice, almost throughout Parshas Lech Lecha is Avram Avinu going and coming to places. Avram leaves. He's always going to somewhere else. Vayetsu, Pasuk Hey in Parshas Lech Lecha, Laleches Arza Kanan. He goes, Laleches Arza Kanan. Avram is constantly moving. Now, there are two other people in Parshas Lech Lecha, Miller pointed out, who are moving. But they move in a very, very different way. And they are Lot and Hagar. Lot, when he separates from Avram, Lot knows where he's going away from. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Vayisa Lot Mikedem. Lot traveled away from the spiritual Kedem, Rashi says, is the spirituality of Avraham Avinu, but it doesn't tell us that he knows exactly where he was going. So the key to Avraham Avinu is Avraham Avinu, when he travels, when he moves, he doesn't only leave a place, he's leaving with a very particular destination. Sometimes God has a destination for him, and sometimes he has a destination. But he knows that God has a particular destination for him. Contrast within Parshas Lech Lecha Hagar. Take a look at Hagar, the description of Hagar, in Perek Tezayin, in our edition, it's page 33. The Malach appears to Hagar and he asks her, Pasuk Ches, Eimi zevos va'anase lechi. He asks her, where are you coming from and where are you going? And what does Sarah answer? Hagar answer, Mipnei sarai givirti anochi borachas. She's escaping. She's running away. And here's where Miller's Chiddush. Rav Miller says the definition of Torah is not mitzvos, it's not learning, it's not religiosity per se. The definition of Torah that starts with Avraham Avinu, the moment in which tohu vavo, confusion, ends, is when Avraham introduces to the world the notion that when you leave somewhere, you have a particular direction and a sense of clarity of where you're going. And the ones who fail, Lot and Hagar, each one of them fail in a different direction. Lot's failure is that Lot knows that he wants to get something more, but he doesn't have clear what he wants. And Hagar is escaping. By the way, what did Rivka say to Yaakov Avinu? Rivka said, brach, escape. The pasuk in Hosea and Perek Yud Beis says, Vayivrach Yaakov. The pasuk describes over here Yaakov escaping. But the Torah in Parshas Vayetze does not emphasize Yaakov escaping. Rather, it's Vayelech, and then the Torah starts off, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Harana. So let's go back to all of our questions. And then we'll develop it more in terms of a lesson that's extremely relevant to us. Question number one was, why the long parsha? Yaakov Avinu, in Vayetze Yaakov, has a particular destination. That destination is not complete with when he when he reaches Haran. That is not complete until, and even after he gets married, even after he begins having children. That's only complete, as we see in Parshas Vayishlach. In Parshas Vayishlach, then, what was the moment in which the perek is ready to end? Vayavo Yaakov Shalom. And the Medrash says that Yaakov has now completed his mission, that he's brought and created and directed the 12 Shvatim of Klal Yisrael. Vayavo Yaakov Shalom. In other words, Yaakov Avinu's Vayetze is not complete until his particular tafkid that he has clarity is his particular tafkid. It's not, that parsha is not complete until that moment. And therefore, Rashi says the word Vayetze is a bad word. For a person simply to leave without having a clarity of where they're going, Rashi explains, we have to say it to emphasize that when a tzaddik leaves, the roshim is still there. But at the end of the day, the pasuk will immediately tell us, no, no, no. Remember we saw Rashi that said that the yitziah was laleches. What was Rashi's language? Rashi had said, vayelech harana, yotza, that leaving was not simply to escape. Laleches leharan. It's to have the clarity of where he's going. Hence, the fantastic chiddush that Rav Miller had suggested. A life of Torah is that when a person moves, any type of movement, I'm not talking about moving a house or moving from a city to a city, any type of movement in one's life, there's a clarity of where you want to go. Says the Sfas Emes, the reason why the Pasuk doesn't say that he was Boreah, that he escaped. And we're adding it in contrast to Hagar, says the Sfas Emes, in Shnas Tof Reish Lamed Dalid, is to emphasize that even though it's true he was escaping, because Yaakov Avinu had clarity, he was going B'Shalva. He had peace. The difference between Hagar, who's in turmoil, and Yaakov Avinu, and they're very, very similar places, Yaakov and Hagar at those particular moments. They're both escaping, but their entire experience, their internal experience is entirely different, because what Yaakov has, Hagar doesn't have. He has Torah. What is Torah? Torah is not simply mitzvahs. Torah is a sense of clarity of what I'm supposed to be doing in life, what I'm supposed to accomplish. That's a very, very powerful mussar. It's a very powerful definition. It's quite a chiddush. Torah is not mitzvah, it's not learning and so on. Torah is a sense of mission, a sense of clarity of what one is trying to accomplish. And that, says the Sfas Emes, is the halicha. That's the going. So it has to say vayetze, but at the same time, it's vayelech harana. It's to emphasize that he has that clarity. But at the end of the day, the parsha can't even end with haran. The parsha can't end with Haran because it wants to emphasize that even the Haran is not complete until it's Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. Now there are a couple of lessons, three lessons that emerge from all of this in our Avodas Hashem. There was an amazing study that was done in Harvard University. The study that was done was they took students in one of the premier universities in the United States, and they measured their success. Of course, unfortunately, the Western definition of success is what? What does it mean someone succeeded? How wealthy they became 15 years later. And they took three groups of students. One group that were good students, but they never clarified for themselves what their goals were. A second group of students who had clear goals. And a third group of students who wrote down their goals. And it's absolutely crazy, the results. The students who had goals were four times more likely to be successful than the students who didn't have clear goals. And here's the crazy stat. The ones who wrote down their goals, they were 20 times more successful. I've mentioned this to you in the past. The idea of taking a pen and a paper
and writing down your goals. Now, our goals are not writing down your goals, how much money you want to make, but our goals are what type of people we want to become, what type of Ovdei Hashem we want to be, where do we want to be, how do we want to be. And when a person has that clarity, that's Torah. And when a person has that clarity, those people accomplish tremendous, tremendous things. Much more than they ever thought that they could. Now, I'll tell you a startling story. I'm uncomfortable with the story. But here's the story. You'll understand in a moment why I'm uncomfortable. But it's a fascinating lesson. One of the greatest poskei hador in the last generation was a Rav in Bnei Brak. His name was Rav Shmuel Vozner. Rav Vozner was the posek for Hasidim, both here in Eretz Yisrael and in America. He passed away in his late 90s. Rav Vozner himself survived. He was a student in Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin, and he came to Eretz Yisrael after going to that yeshiva. Most of his friends did not survive, and he became a Rav in Bnei Brak, and he became a very successful Rav. 20 years ago, one of his grandchildren was going through all of his notebooks. Almost all of his works have been printed. They were going through his notebooks, and he pulled out, his grandfather had notebooks still from his days in Poland. And he pulled out a notebook, and the notebook said, Shmuel Halevi Vozner, Rav D'Ir Lodz. So grandson was very confused. He thought he knew his grandfather's history. And his grandfather just got married when the war had begun. He was not a Rav in Europe. He was only a Rav in Eretz Yisrael. So he said to him, Zayda, what's this? So he said, Rav Vozner said to him, I'll tell you, it's a little bit embarrassing. So I'll tell you, I wrote on my notebook, Rav of the city of Lodz, because that was my dream. My dream was to one day be a Mora Hora in one of the biggest cities in Poland. Ultimately, that city had 30,000 Jews. Ultimately, he became a posek of a community of over 1 million Jews. I'm a little uncomfortable with the story. Does that mean we're supposed to write, you know, one day the rekezet in MMY? That's what you should write on your notebook. You know, what exactly does that mean? What does it mean practically? What does it mean practically for us? I'm not sure. I'm advocating that you should do that. But what I am saying is that people who write down their dreams and their goals, when they concretize it, that's Torah. That's how we accomplish Ratzon Hashem. Lesson number two. And I see this all the time. You guys are Shanabet, right? So I taught for many years in Shanabet. And there, almost everybody in their second year in Israel is growing. But there are some people who their growth seems to be more that they're escaping. They're running away. They're running away from things of the past. They're running away from things that were negative in their life. They're running away from things that they did in high school. That's the Bechina of Hagar. To be Boreach. To escape. Usually, when a person's running away from something, at the end of the day, they experience something stronger, more meaningful, but it doesn't last. The Bechina of Yaakov Avinu is whenever there is a Yetzia that was put in even already from Avram Avinu, whenever there was a Yetzia, whenever a person is leaving something, it's not simply to escape. It's to redefine ourselves. It's to truly, truly make ourselves something better, not to simply, God forbid, run away. And then we have to ask ourselves, is our progress that we're doing running away from whatever negative things it might be, whether it be personal, social, religious, or is there a clarity of who I want to become, of what I want to be? Rav Miller points out that this is not only his definition of Torah, but it's also the Mesillas Yesharim's definition of Torah. How many of you have learned Mesillas Yesharim? A little bit of Mesillas Yesharim? Okay, most of you. All of you. Mesillas Yesharim is based on a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Chaf. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, Torah mevi'a l'day zehirus, zehirus l'zrizus, zrizus l'nekius. And the Mesillas Yesharim begins. Based on the Gemara, Torah brings you to zehirus, whatever zehirus means, whatever zrizus means, whatever those words mean. And then He begins the Sefer and he forgets about Torah. He doesn't talk about Torah. What happened to the first step? Torah brings you to Zeus. So according to the above Mahalik, Rav Miller says, Torah doesn't mean what you and I an hour ago thought what Torah means. Torah is not mitzvahs. Torah is not learning, only learning. You understand what I mean? I don't mean to chas v'chelil minimize that. Hafuch, that's what we do here in the Kollel all day. But what does it mean? Torah mevia? Torah mean, what it means is Torah, the life of Torah, of lech lecha me'artzecha el ha'aretz ha'sharareka, a life where there's yitzia and alicha, that starts with the hiros, the rizos, and the kios, etc. In other words, it doesn't mean that Torah, in terms of learning Torah, brings you to Zehirus. No, it means Torah, the approach of Torah, the essence of what Torah is all about. That is the Bechina of going. And therefore, it's not simply about escaping. It's not about running away from the Yetzer Hara. It's about creating something that's entirely new and something that's entirely different. By the way, Rav Huttner had a different answer to that question, just parenthetically. Rav Huttner's answer to the question was that when you reach a Madrega of Zrizos after Zehirus, then you've moved on. You've passed Zehirus. You don't go back. There's no looking back. And then you go, when you go from Zrizos to Nikius, that's gone. Torah is not that way. Torah is in every one of the steps. Torah is in Zehirus, Torah is in Zrizos, Torah is in Nikius. But our Rosh Kolo's teretz is a different teretz. His teretz is that, what does it mean, Torah mevia? It means an outlook of Torah, where there's clarity of the sense of vision. So two practical lessons. And that is that if one is going to accomplish in Ruchnias, then one needs to have clarity of what one wants to be. It's not enough to know what you don't want to be. And that requires a pen and paper. That's what Lahavdil, the Harvard study, emphasized. And the beauty of a life of Torah is that the moment in which we internalize this in Torah, it also becomes a way of life and success in the world, the physical world as well. The moment in which a person has clarity, and the Harvard study brought out, that will also achieve success in terms of one's accomplishments and other things in life. And finally, one more application. The Kedushas Levi in Parshas Vayetze points out that this Vayetze of Yaakov is different than any other Vayetze. And as I alluded to before, he says that this Vayetze of Yaakov Avinu is about building Klal Yisrael. In contrast to Avram Avinu, Avram Avinu's Lech Lecha is where Avram Avinu finds a spiritual mission. And in that spiritual mission, Avram Avinu has particular goals, etc., etc., that there's always an end goal. It's not only Yitzia, it's always Alicha. It's not a Brecha, it's not he's escaping Terach's house, but he has particular goals. But this is the first Yitzia that's national. It's the first Yitzia in which Yaakov Avinu is building the Shiftei Kaf. And therefore, I'd like to suggest, it's not enough to have simply Vayetze and Vayelech Harana, as we developed before. But as we pointed out, it has to be that it's not complete, the parasha is not complete, until Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. In contrast to Avram Avinu, where it's a personal development, every pasuk always has a going and a coming. In contrast to Lod and Hagar. Here, it's more than just within each pasuk. Here it's about the building of Klal Yisrael, and if it's about the building of Klal Yisrael, then it has to be a long, long parsha, which starts with Vayetze and ends with Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. And you know why? Because there's something unique in Klal Yisrael that Yaakov Avinu creates, says the Nesiva Shalom, that didn't exist before. Avram Avinu finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the gematria of Avram Avinu? Amazing gematria. I didn't know this. 248. What's 248? What's Avram? 248. What's 248? 248 is 248 mitzvos aseh. Avram Avinu corresponds to mitzvos aseh that represent, as the Ramban writes, avas Hashem, the desire to some come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yitzchak is the midah of gevura, of strength. Strength is the ability for a person to say no. You know, as Nancy Reagan once upon a time said, just say no. Have that clarity. That's Yitzchak Avinu. And then there's a third Midah. And that's Yaakov. Argues in the Siva Shalom, it's neither Ava nor Yira. Yaakov Avinu, what is Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayetze? Yaakov Avinu is involved with cattle, with people who aren't straight, with changing a lot of diapers, with getting married, building a family, dealing with the ups and downs of life. The word Kedusha, which of the Avos is it ascribed to? When you bench, what do you say? Kedoshenu, Kedosh Yaakov. Says in the Siva Shalom, Avram Avinu represents Ava. Yitzchak represents Gevura. Yaakov Avinu is the one who brings in Kedusha. What is Kedusha? Kedusha is to be able to relate to the physical world in a manner that raises it up. That even changing diapers, even washing the dishes, even going to college classes, earning a living, all of those things are Kedusha. And Yaakov Avinu introduces that. That's what the Nesi V'Shalom describes, are the three different midos of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Based on that Nesi V'Shalom, we could add one more thing. The only way that a person will be able to raise all of those things up is if a person has clarity. You and I know people who are extremely wealthy, who their wealth have brought them down. There's so many beautiful vacations to go on. There's so many fascinating materialistic things in life. And it begins to be an attraction. And you and I also know other people who are wealthy, who that their wealth doesn't pull them down. If anything, they raise it up. What's the difference? How do we become those people who are spiritually wealthy and our gashmius doesn't pull us down? Clarity. Clarity of where we really, really are. As the Mesillas Yesharim begins, that at the end of the day, the recognition, Olam Hazed Domeh LeProzdar, that this world is like a hallway, Olam Haba Domeh LeTraklin. And the world to come, that's our goal. And the world to come is not only after 120. The world to come is a life in which we are exalted, that we're able to raise ourselves up closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Torah teaches us, brings us to Kedusha. Torah brings us to Kedusha, not simply through learning Torah, but the sense of clarity of what we want to accomplish. So three practical lessons from this Dvar Torah. Number one is that one needs to write. One needs to have a clear vision. Number two, it's not enough to be simply be boreach. That's the midah of Hagar. And number three, the third part, is the way in which we navigate through a materialistic world and raise our materialism up. Yaakov Avinu, that's the bechina of Kedusha. Yaakov's the first one that needs this massive parsha. That massive parsha that begins with Vayetze and ends with Vayavo Yaakov Shalom, because Yaakov Avinu is the first one of Kedusha. Avram Avinu is the lesson. That's where Rav Miller developed the idea. But the Torah emphasizes it in one massive parsha when it comes to Yaakov Avinu, because Yaakov Avinu is the biggest challenge in this world. The biggest challenge in this world is to be able to take that materialistic world, to be able to sanctify it, to not be pulled down, and to be able to raise it up. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmayim to be able to have that clarity. Now's the time. Mirtz Hashem, every single one of you should live to 120. Bisimcha, in a short period of time, your lives are going to be getting busy. You have a little bit of time now. And when you get back, it's not enough to do it now. You have to also do it when you get back. Now that you have the time to have that clarity of what I want to become, and not in a high school way. In other words, not just simply say, oh, I just want to be like her, like that teacher who's a fantastic role model. Get a little deeper. Get a little deeper of how that relates to my tchunas hanefesh, of what my kochos are, what is my personality, and how am I going to be able to use that to be mekadesh shem shemayim. With that, Be'ezer Hashem will live a life of Torah. We'll go from a world that is so stuck, a world that is full of so much turmoil. Every day it just seems like, who would have thought that we would have a president like we have 5 years ago? The world is becoming more and more and more and more full of turmoil. But Klal Yisrael keeps on marching. Torah keeps on marching. No matter what, Klal Yisrael has a sense of vision. The question becomes whether we're going to be truly part of that. Be'ezer Hashem, we should be zocha to live those 120 years to be mekadesh shem shemayim, to live Torah mivi l'dei zehirus, zehirus l'zrizus, to go mimadrega l'madrega, and thereby raise beautiful Jewish homes in mekadesh shem shemayim. You send it to me.